So today we shall be starting the 16th chapter called Divine and Devilish Estate. Divine and Devilish Estate, also called Dev Asuri Yogaha. So how did we get to this? What is the sequence of logical thinking in the Bhagavad Gita? The first six chapters deal with me, because the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three sections, Tat, Tvam, Asi, that thou art. And me, the individual, is covered in the first six chapters, where it tells how I should act in the world, karma yoga, the yajna spirit, and so on. And in the sixth chapter, Bhagavan ends with the yoga of meditation, dhyana yoga. What is this God that I need to contemplate upon? And then 7th, 8th and 9th are a very high philosophy of the Upanishads, which is a very subtle philosophy where this knowledge of who God is, who Brahman is explained in a very subtle form, which a lot of us find very difficult. And so out of compassion for us, the Lord in the 10th chapter talks about where I can be seen. He says, if you want to see me, where can you see me? Among mountains, I am Mount Everest. Among the birds, I am eagle. Among animals, I am the lion, and so on. And then in the 11th chapter, at Arjuna's request, the Lord shows his Virat Roop, his divine cosmic form, where he shows the whole world is in me. And in 12th chapter, the yoga of bhakti or devotion, he shows us how through devotion we can reach the Lord. But devotion does not mean go to the temple and light diya or offer flowers. What are the qualities of a devotee? How truly you can be a beloved of the Lord is covered very beautifully. And then Arjuna asks about, tell me about matter and spirit. So in the 13th chapter, the Lord tells him about matter and spirit, kshetra and kshetrajna. Then Arjuna's doubt is, if we are all consisting of the five elements, a body is made of five elements, and we are all Om, the consciousness, then why this endless variety? He is different from her and him, and animals are different from birds and plants and fish. Nothing is similar in the world. So Krishna says it's because of the gunas. The sattva, the pure, the rajasic, the active, and the tamasic, the lazy. So the three gunas we all have in various admixtures, and that decides the quality of the individual. So slowly he is progressing from philosophy to practice. The 15th chapter, which we just covered, most beautiful chapter, where he talked about who is this Bhagwan, this Brahman, this consciousness, how can we know him, where does he exist, how did the world come into creation, what is reincarnation, everything is beautifully covered in the 15th chapter. And those who were not here, if you wish to listen to the talks, you can go to firstpower.info, that's the website. firstpower.info, and then you can click on talks by Dr. Anil Mehta and you will be able to find that. 15th chapter is worth listening again and is worth memorizing. So if you have the books, please read it and listen. So today we'll talk about the 16th, because Arjuna says again, if we all came from God, we all came from God. Religion says, Bible says, Quran says, Gita says, then why this infinite variety? Not only that, but they want to know, if I came from God, where am I going to go after this? They say, well, you'll go to dust. From dust you came and dust you shall become. On Ash Wednesday, there was a headline in the Californian. If I'm going to become dust, then why should I bother? Why should I be nice? Why should I help others? Why should I be kind? Religion says, there is heaven and hell. Okay, if you are good, you will die, you will go to heaven. If you are bad, you will die and go to hell. Okay, but who knows if there is heaven or hell? I want to know how to live in this world. I don't know about heaven, hell. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Maybe it's a bluff. Maybe all these prophets just together decided to bluff us. So they say, okay, forget about heaven and hell. Even in this life, if you are good to others, what will you get? You will get good back. If you're bad, you will get bad. The karma theory is very clear. Not only that, but we expect others to do, to be good to us, then we should do the same. Do unto others. In all religion, even kindergarten children are told, do good to others, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So religion teaches us that one should be good. Not only forget about going to the next life and all, even in this life, if you are a good individual, your life will be good. You will be more, if you are more kind, more compassionate, more loving, your mind will be at peace, you will have less stress if you don't cheat others, if you don't hurt others. So what the rishis did, they divided mankind into three categories. Deva or the Sura, the gods, or the divine people, divinely good. The Asuras, which are the diabolically fallen, and the Rakshasas, which are the incorrigibly indifferent. They did not divide people on the base of race or color or religion or, you know, or caste system or none of that. These are the three kinds of individuals that the whole world is divided into. The Rakshasas, the ones who are incorrigibly indifferent, are not covered in this particular chapter because the Rakshasas are the ones that cannot be corrected. They are people who are a danger to society and danger to themselves. You know, they just don't care. They may know things, but they just don't want to practice. Guy is smoking. You say, why are you smoking? Is it your problem? I'm smoking with my mouth, not with your mouth. He said, but your one lung is gone and your second lung is full of fluid. And if you don't stop smoking, you will die. So what? It's my life. I have a freedom. The Constitution gives me the right to smoke, to use drugs, as long as I am not hurting anybody, get out of here. What can you do for you? Tell him, sir, if you stop smoking, you know, we can give you medicine, dry up your lung, you might live another 15, 20 years. I don't want to live even a single day without cigarette. So such people you cannot help. You know, they are, or they might be criminal, drug dealers and drug addicts and, you know. For such people, Rakshasas, there is no solution. So how do we get them better? Destiny. Because what will happen is that because of their terrible actions, they will suffer. They will suffer in this life, second life, third life. Ultimately, the life will beat them enough where they will realize, oh, I shouldn't do this. So it is only their own karmas, their own destiny that will control them. Rakshasa. So we don't talk about them today. And we, actually the 16th chapter doesn't even address them. He says because these people, their own destiny will take care of it. We don't need to do anything. So this chapter talks about the Deva and the Asuras. The Suras and the Asuras. Suras which are divinely good. Asuras are diabolically fallen. And all of us are in this category. Asuras. There are very few who are in the divinely good sura. So we should, if we consider ourselves here, I think we'll be more correct, all of us. So all religions tell us that moral values are prerequisite in every, whether you go to the Ten Commandments of, you know, Moses, the concept of Dharmapada of Buddhism, the values in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, the qualities of a devotee. All of them say that to evolve spiritually, you have to practice divine moral virtues. They are very necessary. If you are immoral, if you are illegal, if you are, you know, hurtful to others, you cannot evolve spiritually. You just cannot. You will just go downhill. So you first have to learn to practice these values, and all the religions emphasize that. There is no religion which, even Islam, they talk about doing charity, controlling the mind, you know, that's why they make ask them to fast for 1 month and all. The idea is that you have to control your mind and be kind to others. So why are there three different kinds of people? So Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says there are three kinds of thoughts. As we know, a person is not determined by the quality of his body. The body, you know, we pretty much have the same human body. There are subtle differences in face and fingerprints and all. But what distinguishes a good or a bad or an indifferent person is the quality of his thoughts. If my thoughts are predominantly sattvic, loving, compassionate, kind, then I'll be in the quality of Sura or the godly people or the divine people, where predominantly I live a sattvic life, I serve others, I help society, I do good as much as I can. if we are predominantly rajasic, and rajasic are the people who are passionate, who are possessive, who want to acquire more, become more successful, step on others' heads to rise, you know, it's like in the corporate world, in a dog eats dog, you know, who is going to be number one, looking out for number one, then those are the people who are predominantly the diabolically fallen, who know what is right. They come, Swamiji, I know what is right, but, you know, that big but comes in. And we all know, you know, from childhood we are taught what to do and what not to do. But when it comes to practice, we say, I know very well, but. And that but, B-U-T, is the biggest problem in our life. So, and the tamasic, of course, are the ones who are the rakshasas, who are, you know, into drugs and crime and all, and not much can be done for them. So they say that life is like a landing, like if you climb steps, right? So suppose you have to go from the ground floor to the second floor. So you climb the steps. So you come climb one set of steps, then you come to a landing, then you turn around and climb the second. So life is like a landing. Human beings are at that landing. Now, when you're standing at that landing, you have a choice. You can go up or you can go down. Going down is very easy, requires no effort. You just sit on the, you know, it'll just, it will slide you down. But to go up, you have to put effort. You have to, you know, exert. You have to climb the stairs. So similarly, we all are at the landing of life where we have been placed by nature, by God, and we are given two very clear choices. Either you go upward and become a saint, become divine, become, you know, a spiritual person, or you go downward and devolve to the level of animals or humans who live like animals. So the choice is very clear, and that's what the scriptures tell us. That's what the 16th chapter will tell us, that you are at this crossroad in your life where you have to make a choice. That's why the 16th chapter is very practical. There is not much philosophy. There is not theory. All that Krishna has already done from chapter 1 to 15 or chapter 2 to 15, he has in detail covered the philosophy of the Upanishads. Here he's telling us how to practically apply this life. So it says you have to judge yourself. Where am I? Am I progressing or am I going down? If I read the Bhagavad Gita, am I applying that in my life or am I just mechanically reading? Okay, I came to the Sunday class, read, listened and went, but there is no change in my life. So I have to make a conscious effort to go upwards. Guru cannot help. Guru cannot take you there. Guru can help. He can guide you. He can advise you. But people say, Guru, you bless me and let me. Guru cannot do that. He doesn't have a magic hand where he can go around blessing and make all of us saints and divine. In the 6th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Udaret atmanatmanam na atmanam avsadayet atmaibhi atmano banduhu atmaiva ripur atmanaha. He says, lift yourself by yourself. Do not fall down because you are your own best friend and you are your own worst enemy. Depending on what you decide in your life, that is how you can do. Guru will be a guide, but Guru cannot lift us. And they say life is like a very slippery pole. You know, in India, actually, in the olden days, they used to have these fairs, huge fairs. And you know, they have all these games of skill and all. So here, there used to be a game where they would buy, you have to buy tickets, and there's a very tall, very slippery pole. And at the top, they have a lot of money placed there. And so a lot of people try, and the pole is very high and has a lot of grease. It has like 3 inches of grease on it. And so you're supposed to, the one who reaches the top will get whatever the prize is, you know, 1,000 rupees or whatever. And so people used to would buy tickets, and they would go, you know, number A, B, C, D, E, F, you know, 5, 6 people would buy tickets, and they would go, and somebody would go 2 steps and fall down, 3 steps and fall down, and, you know, keep going. But after A, B, C, D, E, F has gone, A gets another turn. By then, some of the grease has been cleaned up. So then he can go a little higher, and again he falls, and the whole crowd is laughing. So the point is that you have to keep struggling because ultimately the prize is on top. So similarly for us, the prize is to become one with God, to evolve, to spiritually. So in life, there will be occasions when you slip, when you decide, you know what is right and you still cannot do it. But one has to be strong, one has to be persistent, and one has to decide that this is my goal. And what is my goal? to evolve, to become one with God. Talking about God, one teacher asked the students, you know, where does God live? So one said, God lives in the heaven. Another one says, God lives above clouds. Third one says, God lives in the temple. So the fourth one says, God lives in my bathroom. So what? God lives in your bathroom? Yeah. He says, why? Why do you say that? He says, every morning when my sister is in there, my father bangs on the door and says, oh my God, are you still in there? So that's what the difference between philosophy and practice is. Philosophy tells us, do what is right. Philosophy is for the intelligent. You know, they can read the scriptures and all. But this philosophy is not of any use unless you make a substantial change in your life. You have to decide. Somebody told Gurudev, Swami Chinman, I've gone through the Gita 3 times. Gurudev says, you have gone through the Gita 3 times, but has the Gita gone through you? Have you changed your life? Has Gita become a part of your living, a part of your thinking? You have to be consciously aware of my thoughts. Am I in tamas right now? Am I lazy? Oh, I don't feel like working. I don't want to go to the office. Or am I passionate? And am I arrogant? And am I proud? Or am I living a sattvic life, a life of purity, a life of service, a life of love? So constantly one has to be watching your thoughts. That's what Swami Ishwarananda told me one time. He says the greatest spiritual exercise is be aware of your mind. What is my mind doing at this moment? Is my mind in tamas or is my mind in rajas? Or is my mind sattva? And if it is in tamas or rajas, bring it up. Bring God into with you in all your actions. Take him with you to work. Take him with you to while you're cooking. Whatever activity I'm doing, God is with me. He is always with me, with us, but we don't remember that. So do that and do good to others. As we said, that is the essential philosophy of all scriptures. As you do, so shall you reap. The law of karma is very clear. Anytime anybody is suffering at any moment for anything, it is not because of my husband or my wife or my neighbor or my child or my mother or my boss or co-worker. It is me, myself, because it is my karmas that are maturing. And if I have done good karmas, I'll get good results. If I have done bad karmas, I have getting bad results. Then I have nobody to blame except myself. You say, well, okay, whatever karmas I did, I'm suffering right now. That's true. But I have the choice today to at least change my future so that I should not make the same mistake as I made last year or 10 years ago in last life. Maybe I didn't have this knowledge. But having a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda give us this beautiful commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, the present is in my hand. That's why Eckhart Tolle says, live in the now. I cannot change my past. Past, whatever happened, I cannot change. What is happening to me is a result of my past. But whatever I do good today will affect my future. So do good, not only to affect your future, but even my present will be good. So do good things. Do help others. Then the question is, what do we identify with? Do we identify with our body or do we identify with the higher? And 99% of us are identified with the body. When you get up in the morning, first thing, what do you do? Go in the mirror and look yourself. And from there it starts. And then you have a cup of tea or coffee and khatam. A 3 or 4 year old child, does he or she go and look in the mirror? No, they also have a body, but they are not identified with that. Because for them, it doesn't matter my hair, how my hair looks and what I'm wearing. They are so indifferent. They're not saying that you shouldn't dress clean or all that. But do I identify with my body? If I think I am the body, then all my whole life is meant to fatten the body. Eat more. In fact, a 3 or 4 year old, when they are full, they stop eating. But for us, if we get some good mithai or some sweets or some pizza, come on, eat, you know. Not only eat, but we take it home to eat next day. That's how did we develop that? A cat or dog never overeats. When they are done, they are done. And it's not only eating, in all our possessions, we are so greedy. You know, how did we get this greed? Acquire more, possess more, even if I have to hurt or cheat others. We want to collect for the future. Oh, I don't know what will happen after retirement. What you have to do is do good and the Lord will take care of you. So identify yourself with the higher. Body does not only mean food, but, you know, just acquiring more possessions and clothes and jewelry and house and car and money and bank account and pension plan. All the time, that's all we are thinking about. Think about, where do I have to go after death? Only thing that will go with me, my money is not going to go, my house, my car, my children, my clothes, jewelry, nothing will go. Only thing will go with me are my karmas, my actions. So pay attention to that, and that will not only make your present life better, but make your future lives better too. And that's why they say, go upwards. Swami Ishwarananda Ji, I was reading his commentary on the 16th chapter, and he says it very beautifully, such a beautiful description. He says that when you go to a temple, you light a flame. Or even Christians, when they go to a church, they light a candle. Why? Because the flame is always going upwards. A flame of the fire never goes downwards. All our Hindu rituals, when we offer things in the fire and do swaha. Why? Because the fire is always goes upwards. In fact, the fire is said to be the FedEx, is the messenger to the gods. And when you offer oblations in the fire and chant the mantras appropriate, the prayers go straight to God. That's why Agni is worshipped as one of the gods. Why? Because Agni has the ability to purify. No matter what you put in there, it becomes pure. So that's why they say that make your life a flame, that I should always evolve. That's why I always say, at the end of each year, look back and think, how have I done the past year? Have I evolved? Am I closer to God? Am I closer to the truth? You can do that every month, on the last day of the month. In this month, what have I done that is good? Or at the end of each day, look back and say, today, did I do anything good? Did I help somebody? Like this boy came and his mother asked him, did you do something good? He says, I did a good deed. He says, what? He said, I helped an old lady to cross the street. She says, yeah, that's very good. But what did she say? He said, she was angry. So she was angry? You helped her cross the street? Oh, she didn't want to cross. So do something good every day, you know, help others to make this world a better place. So this is an introduction to the 16th chapter, which will talk about two kinds of people, Deva and Asura. The Deva, the Suras, or the Asuras. And interestingly, the Bhagavan Sri Krishna has only given three verses to the Devas, to the good people. The three verses talk about the qualities of the good people. You know, what are the qualities of a good individual? And that he has covered. There are 26 values. Very fatafat he finishes in three verses, jadar, abhayam, this and that and all. And then the remaining 23 are for the rest of us, he says. Because that is where we all are. That is where we all are. So that's why he has spent maximum time advising us on how we should come from this to this, how we should evolve. So we'll next week, we shall start the first verse where Bhagavan lists the qualities of the good individuals. And then after the three verses, the remaining 23 talks about why we are what we are. Why are we not able to function? What are the problems in our life and how we can correct them? So it's a very, very practical, very useful chapter. We have a few minutes. Any questions or comments about what we discussed today or anything else?
You said that we are predominantly Asura, but you also mentioned that the three gunas we all...
Yeah, we are all a mixture of tamas, rajas and sattva. Nobody is pure sattva. Pure sattva cannot function. So we have rajas, we have tamas, we have a mixture. Like early in the morning, after you've done your prayer and meditation, you're in a pure sattvic mood, and then you go out to work in your office or wherever, and then you become active, and then you become competitive, and then you try to, you know, so then you're in rajas, and then after some time you're tired, you come home, tamasic, you get a drink, and you lie down, and, you know, the beer in front of the TV, that is pure tamas. So we are all a mixture of that. You are tired. So tamas is required to rest. But the problem is when an individual is predominantly tamasic, and he all he's doing is, you know, living on drugs or on welfare, depending on, so even he might be healthy, but depending on society to take care of him. So the question is that which am I predominantly? Am I predominantly sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic? Majority of us are rajasic because we are competitive. We go out into the world and work. But what they say is that even while you're working, bring sattva in with you. Be gentle and kind to people around you, your family, your co-workers. Spend some time in service, even whatever activity, even my job, instead of taking it as a salary or a job, I'm doing it as a service. If I'm a doctor, I'm serving my patients. If I'm an engineer, I'm, you know, serving all my customers. If I'm even a secretary sitting in an office, whoever comes to me, the Lord himself is coming. So I'm kind and compassionate. It doesn't matter what you do. It is how the attitude with which you work. If I'm cooking, you know, for my children and for my husband, the Lord is in all of these. So I'm cooking for them. So that cooking itself becomes a puja. So you can make every activity sattvic just by invoking the Lord's grace and reducing your ego. To the extent your ego is more, to that extent you're identified with the body. To the extent your ego is reduced, to that extent you're identified with the higher. So that is how we can bring more sattva into our life.
So when we look at animals around, let's say a piece of bread thrown between two dogs, we just fight over it. And in human case, when we do fight, deep inside we also have a sense of guilt.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we all have this sattva. We all have goodness, but we have forgotten. And we also know it. You know, from childhood we have been taught, but we don't are not able to practice. But yeah, the more you can bring sattva into your life, see, animals don't know any different. You know, they are basically here just to fulfill their karmas. They're programmed to fulfill their karmas. They don't have any choice. They don't have any discrimination. Humans have the ability, you know, either to evolve or to devolve because we have an intellect. Animals have a very limited intellect, but we have a fully developed intellect. So that's why, yeah. But we all have God in us. God is in us. Om is in all of us. It's not that he was as much in Hitler as he was in Mahatma Gandhi or as he was in Mother Teresa. God is there equally in all. It is how much you bring him into your life that decides how your actions are. But that's a good point. Thank you.
So how do you comment on the diet of rajasic?
Yeah, diet also affects your thoughts. It will be covered more in the 17th chapter. But diet definitely affects the kind of diet. It is very well shown that if you eat a diet which is, you know, more fruits and vegetables, lightly cooked, not very spicy, your mind is more quiet. That's why most of these Mahatmas and Swamis, they eat more bland. But if you eat a diet very rich and pungent, lot of cream and lot of sugar and, you know, very, then you get more energy to work, but then your mind is more racing. And then if you obviously have, you know, alcohol or cigarettes or drugs or, you know, old food, you know, food that has been kept for months in the fridge, the very tamasic food, then your mind also becomes dull. So that's why they say eat more sattvic, more pure and lightly cooked foods. Predominantly, it should be sattvic food.
But I thought you
work. No, you will work. You will work. But what I'm saying is the same, you know, you can eat food that is well cooked, healthy food. We're not saying that. What they talk about rajasic is food that is extremely spicy, very pungent, very rich, you know, very creamy. Those kind of foods don't make you feel good. If the food is too much, has too much fat in it, too much sugar in it, too much spice in it, it stimulates your mind and your body. So you can eat healthy food and still work. It's not that, you know, you don't work. I mean, you know, it's that. It's just that will be covered in more detail in the 17th chapter. Krishna has talked about the various kinds in 17th and 18th chapter about the gunas and about what kind of diet, what kind of activity and all that, yes. But yeah, diet does affect your thoughts. I think we give too much importance to food. Food is important, but more important is your thoughts, you know. So, and we some people are so obsessed about food. I'm going to eat this, not eat this, not. And then they get all the time spent on that. More important is how you deal with others. How do I deal with my family, with my neighbors? Am I becoming more patient? Am I becoming more kind? Am I becoming more compassionate, more loving, more sharing? That is what is more important. And that's what will show you whether you are evolving or are devolving? That's why when they offer flame for the pujas, but when we offer prayers to the pitras, you know, pitras, when you do in Kashi, it is done with water because water goes downwards. So the point is that, you know, the pitras are, you know, there you're not trying to evolve, you're just honoring your pitras. But all other pujas are done with fire. The idea is to go upward. There are 26 values which Sri Krishna has given us. In the first three verses, I'll try to do at least four or five values next week. And then how we can bring them in our life. And then after that, then we'll go to the others. Thank you very much. We'll end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.